You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
We're in the middle of our Christmas series. We called it Born to Die. It's been great so far. We called it Born to Die because we wanted you to understand the whole breadth of what Christmas began, not just what happened on that day. All right? See, we didn't want to just have this focus, oh, there's a baby, so cute, yay, babies are great. You know, we wanted to go on like, so what did this mean? What did this change? What happened? Why did it happen? Thing is, God came to earth for one reason, to die for your sins, to die so you could have community with God, to die so that you could be in the presence of God and not die yourself. Being in his presence. So he brought his presence to earth and never left. Amen. And so the first week we talked about, even though Christmas is about a little baby being born in a manger, and don't get me wrong, special baby. Everything looked so humble and weak and sad and tired, and a baby born in a manger in the same room as animals and wild creatures, and three blind mice were there as well, and a tired mum after the birth, a small, tiny, little baby naked and needy, needing food, needing clothes, needing warmth from the mother and the father, needing protection. But that's the wonder of it, isn't it? That God himself would come to earth in such a humble reality. But the thing about that baby is that all the power of God in heaven lived inside that baby. That's not just a needy, naked baby needing something. That is all the power of heaven and all the power of God living in a little baby born in a little manger, all right? That's a whole nother story, amen? I praise God that he wasn't needing some triumphant thing. He was just like, I'm going to come humbly. I'm going to come in a manger. There's going to be mice in there. It's going to be all good. The Savior of the world. But it wasn't just a baby. All the power of heaven. That was the day that all the power of heaven came to live on earth. See, sometimes Christmas confuses people, and for some reason, it has become, for some, a time of helplessness and loneliness and even distress, and we want help, but all we have at Christmas is a little baby. A little baby aren't going to help me. Because we get so focused on the baby being born that we forget about the power and the majesty of the moment, the power and the glory, that this is the moment. Christmas is the moment that all the power and the glory of God became something that was in our reach, became something that mankind could now reach out and touch. Christmas is the moment that God and all his power came to live on earth and never left. And you know, he never left, right? You know, God never left. See, the Holy Spirit remains and works through us and in us and around us. And there is power on earth because of Christmas. And last week we talked again about the baby that was actually born to die for our sins, and in light of his mercy, that we can confess our sins, our struggles, our hurts, and find healing from those sins, struggles, hurts, pains in our lives. Because Jesus overflows with mercy, we have salvation. Because the church overflows with mercy, we have a home. Because we all overflow with mercy, we can find healing in Jesus' name. Amen. And today, if you've got your notebooks out, write this down. The Martha, Mary principle. All right? The Martha, Mary principle. Are you ready for it? Let's get our Bibles open. We'll turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. While you're on the way there, drink break. Good job. I saw a few other people take their brink drink. Brink drink? It's Australian for drink break, you know. It's just, you know, if you don't believe me, just believe me. Man of the cloth wouldn't lie. Thank you for your grace. Everyone got it? Now, as they went on their way, someone say their way. Why did you have to say way? So I know you're awake and responsive. Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha, someone say Martha, welcomed him into her house. Martha welcomed him into her house. Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Everyone say Mary. And Mary sat at Jesus, the Lord's feet, and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Did you know that you can become distracted serving God? Did you know that you can become distracted from God serving God? That's a tragedy, isn't it? You can let your serving become a distraction to you. You need to serve, but you need to remain attentive to what the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do in your life. Amen. And she went up to him and said, Lord Jesus, don't you even care that my bratty little sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about so many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her, which will not be taken away. Amen. God, help us lay our burdens at your feet. Whether burdened by the work we do, or preparing for Christmas, or burdened by the sadness of lost loved ones, or burdened by the absence of people to share this season with. For whatever reason, Lord God, help us lay our burdens at your feet. And as we do, I pray that you will bring peace as we sit in the name of Jesus. Someone say, amen. Every year, my family growing up had a big extended Christmas party. It was for everybody and anyone who wanted to come, but all of the family especially. It was once every 2 years, and in between that, you could do what you want, but outside of that, you would do what we want. And that was to all be together, apparently. We had a whole bunch of people there. We had Auntie Gail and Uncle Ben. Their sons were Paul Gilling, who's coming to preach for us in September. Big faith-filled, Holy Spirit kind of guy. It's going to be a great time in September. We had Michael Gilling, who came and spoke for us 2 years ago. And Benj Gilling, who's the Army Ranger, good at everything if it's dangerous, adventurer, gonna kill anything that's bigger than him just so he can prove that he's just awesome. He's gonna eat it, whether it's edible or not, he's gonna eat it. He is the adventurer of not just their family, but the whole family. He had enough adventure in him for all of us. To this day, we do not know how the heck he's still alive. But he is, praise God. We had the Morrisons, now called the Crows. Why? Because there was a divorce and a remarriage. Because my family is full of people just like your family or some of your family's family, all right? I'm just so grateful that God loves every family, amen? He loves your family if it's dad and stepmom. He loves your family if it's mom and stepdad. He loves your family if it's mom and dad. He loves your family if it's just dad. He loves your family if it's just mom, single parent. God loves your family, amen? Praise God. You are welcome here, and he is welcoming you with open arms, amen. So we had the Morrisons, now the Crows, with Sarah, Marianne, and Katie. We had the Brodericks with Auntie Helen, Debbie, and Justin. And then, of course, we had the Newmans, Mom and Dad, everybody's favorite family. You ask anyone in the town, anyone in the church, you ask anyone in the extended family, everyone's favorite family were the Newmans. Because we carried on the name. The name, amen. Nope, no one believes me. And in my family, we had Jackie, Joel, Jesse. Hello, that's me. I was a favorite of that. No, I'm just kidding. All right, everyone knows it's not true. And then we had Helen and Troy and Nathan and Bethany and sometimes James, my brother from another father, because after my parents were divorced, my mom had another son. And then we had Auntie Pat coming, and that was Grandma's sister. I've told you about her before. She's psycho. She is 92 and tougher than you. I'm telling you, this woman, she's like 92. She's like, I'm going to go paragliding. I'm going to go skydiving. I'm going to go travel the world. I'm going to be an adventurer. She's like, I'm not dead yet, so I'm going to keep living. Amen. I don't know if it gets easier at 92. And you're like, well, I could die tomorrow anyway. I might as well jump out of a plane. I don't know. But she is loving her life and she is living her life. Auntie Pat and all of her kids and their spouses and our family, we always invited anyone from the church who didn't have someone for Christmas, because we believed, just like our church believes, that everybody deserves to have somebody to celebrate with. Amen? There's usually about 70 or more people with us. Now, as a young man, I thought, this is the most well-oiled machine that anyone could ever see. This thing just worked. I was amazed at the food that magically appeared every single Christmas. I was in awe that all the world's Christmas fairies focused on our family and made it happen. Man, that's amazing. Think about it. Food for over 70 people. And I'm not talking like somebody went to Macca's and brought 75 cheeseburgers. I'm talking like there was like good food, like chicken and turkey and pork and whatever else, all on the table, and it was wonderful. Chairs and tables set up for everybody. There was tables for grown-ups, tables for almost grown-ups, tables for wish we were grown-ups, and tables for little people. It was so organized. Cutlery set out everywhere correctly, by the way. Fork in the left hand, knife in the right hand, all right? None of this, they can cut their steak with a fork, all right? None of that, but like set up nicely. Come on now. It was magical what the Christmas fairies did at our family Christmas dinner every single year. Thing is, though, it wasn't magic. People worked really, really, really hard. These magical fairies were really my aunts, all of my aunts, and none of my uncles. And they just so delightfully made it happen every time. But as I grew older, and especially as I turned 18 or 31, I began to realize something that I didn't know existed before this moment. See, Christmas actually turned some of these most wonderful women into monsters that pop out of hell and say, "Yeah, joy to the world, get out of my way." It's crazy some of these women could get at Christmas time. Going crazy when food wasn't in the fridge. Yelling at husbands who watched TV while they worked so hard and they turned up the TV so they couldn't hear the yelling. Oh, you're gonna die, son. Right now. If all the ladies want to know who that was Tyler Cameraman. Tag him in face. No, don't. Crying when the fruitcake, and I mean like tears, actual real life salty tears, when the fruitcake or Christmas pudding didn't turn out right. My dreams came crashing down. Christmas, I now realized, was stressful for 96 hours and enjoyable for two. And that was really sad. Hey, why as a child did Christmas seem so much more fun? Now, maybe you're doing it awesome. In our family, I don't feel with me and Lauren that we're like completely freaking out about Christmas all the time. And part of that is because we were smart enough to have Christmas with all of you, which is really exciting every year. But like, why as a child did Christmas seem so much more fun and so much more wonderful and so much more peaceful than it does as an adult? You ready for the zinger? I'm going to say something to you right now that some of you are going to be like, "You are not a preacher. That is not true. You're a bad boy." All right? Are you ready? I think when we grow up, we forget something and we start to say something to our kids that really isn't true. We say things like, "Christmas is all about giving." It's not true. Y'all are like, "I don't know if I can amen that. I'm going to need some backup on that first." All right? You ready for it? Christmas, my friend, is not all about giving. Now, I know that scripture says it is way better to give than it is to receive. But there's still got to be a receiver for the giving to work. You catching me? Giving without receiving is just throwing something away. Now, try this out, all right? After church, run out there behind the building. There's a bunch of Jaguars, Lexus, Infinities, and Cadillacs. They're just our staff cars, and we park them out the back. They're actually the dealership across the street owns them, and we let them park behind our building just in case you're like, "Oh my gosh, they buy those for this stuff." No, we don't. But there's a bunch out there. Now, I challenge you, go stand next to the Jag out there and and try and give it to nobody. It's going to be super non-eventful. And we're like, dude, you can have this. Crickets. There's got to be a receiver for giving to work. Amen. There's got to be. Now, I know it's true that if you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I know it's true that you reap what you sow. But Christmas is about receiving. God is the giver. Amen. You are the receiver at Christmas time. You are the receiver, not the giver. Amen. Christmas is not about giving. It's all about receiving. What's it about receiving, Pastor Jesse? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's about receiving His mercy, amen? Receiving His power, receiving His blessing, receiving His favor, amen? Receiving His love, His forgiveness, receiving His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for you for free. Receiving joy, peace, hope that nothing on earth could ever, ever take away from you. So stop stealing God's thunder. It ain't about you. Christmas is about Him giving, you receiving. I'm giving to my kids not to teach them to give. I've got all year to teach my kids to give. All year. I'm a teacher. You be a giver. Be generous. Reap and sow. Give, give, give. Do this. Press down. God will bless. Do, all year we can talk about Christmas time. I'm teaching my kids to be good receivers, so that they receive Jesus, so that they receive forgiveness, so that they don't live in the shame of their past mistakes or their future mistakes, because they receive God's mercy and God's grace. Can someone say amen? Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 18, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, of course, I don't want my kids to be like running through Target going, gimme, 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 gimme that. But you better believe I want to be a bit more childish in my desire to receive all that God has for me. When a child is given a gift, they're not afraid of what people think of the gift. They just own it. Like, that's mine now. Thank you very much. As we get older, we begin to fear other people's opinions and we begin to try to earn free gifts. Yo, my name's God. I want to give you salvation. Boom. It's free. You don't have to earn it. There it is. And our response is, okay, God, I'm going to earn that and I'm going to make that. I'm going to be worthy of that. I'm going to pay for that somehow with my life for now and all of eternity. Amen. If after church I gave you my Malibu, right? Don't laugh. It's a Malibu, but it's nice. And it's fast, all right? Remember I told you? He's just going to take that thing and own it, isn't he? Right? Isn't she? That's what our kids are going to do. They're just going to take it. Thank you very much. Give me the keys. Back off. This thing's going to move fast. So back to Mary and Martha, all right? So I'm like preparing this week's message, and I think to myself at some point, you know, maybe I should look up what their names mean. No, whatever, cool, move on. And I'm thinking this whole time as I'm preparing the message, you know, I'm gonna do this awesome idea of like talking about, like, you know, one being like a child and one being like a grown-up, you know, that'd be great, help people understand. And then listen to this, and then the name Mary, I looked it up, and the name Mary means wished for child. Wished for child. I'm like, man, I'm awesome. I come up with this before the Holy Spirit. How good is that? I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't even need you to do sermons anymore. He's like, hang on. I told you to look up the name, son. Don't forget, I gave you the message. All right, I told you the message and the Mary and the Martha and the kid and the grown up and what. And by the way, Jesse, I was there when I named them Martha. And so I was like, all right, you can have this one. You can have this one, Holy Spirit. So we have Martha, meaning lady, being a lady, which was especially important back then. Now, I know some, you know, there's still this thing where in many cultures and even some around here where, you know, the lady of the house might take care of this, that. But back then, it was a must. It wasn't do you want, it was a must. The lady of the house will take care of the guests. She'll take care of the house. She'll take care of the food. That was the lady's job. That's what she had to do. So she's organizing stuff and things and doing things. But over the other side, we have the wished-for child being a little child at the feet of the Messiah. And Martha's getting ready to bless Jesus. And that's great, that's great, that's great, that's cool. Do that. For sure do that. She wants to impress Jesus. She's getting ready to serve Jesus. And serving Jesus is great, amen? You know, but the thing is, it wasn't what she was doing that was wrong. It was what she was not doing. The serving's fantastic. You should serve God. You should serve Jesus. You should serve others. But you should sit too. Sometimes as much as we want to serve and bless Jesus, we've got to be Mary too. And sit down at the feet of the Messiah, the Savior, the Prince of Peace. And say, Jesus, take my burdens. I lay them at your feet. Make me whole. I receive your peace. I receive your love. I receive hope. I invite you to bring peace into this life, this home, this room, and this heart. Sometimes we have to serve. Sometimes we have to sit. But they're both worship. Amen. They're both worship. Serving God, serving God, serving God, serving in the house of God, serving others for God. It's worship. But sitting at the feet of Jesus in worship and receiving from Him is worship too. Can someone say amen? Serving though, listen to this. In this story, see, serving without sitting will cause bitterness and brokenness to fester in your heart towards your brothers and sisters. You will keep serving and serving and serving and serving. And one day the people that you're serving will tick you off. And your heart will be bitter and twisted about them. I don't ever get to sit. You need to sit. Amen. You need to sit. That's why we encourage everyone who serves in our kids team and are out of this service in here, we encourage them to Martha one service every weekend and to Mary one service every weekend. It's important that you do that. Not, well, this week, oh, Martha, next week, oh, Mary. No, 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 no. What you need to do is you need to Martha this week and Mary this week. Amen. You need to both sit and serve every single week so you can bless God and others and receive from God and others in Jesus' name. Think about the importance of what the Marthas do here at Eternity Church every single week. It's awesome. This whole team of people up on this stage were Martha. Every single, not one of them is paid. Every single one of them is a volunteer in church. They Martha, they serve. Everyone in our kids team, all of our ushers, this church runs on the backs of Marthas. And we need Marthas. There's nothing wrong with being a Martha. There's something wrong with being a Martha and not being a Mary. You need to have multiple personality disorder. Be Martha and Mary, amen. You can tweet that. Funny, hey, check this out. We wouldn't have church if not for the Marthas. You know that, right? So no one serving, no one on band, no one preaching, no one hosting, no one doing the offering word, no one collecting the offering, no one greeting, no one parking, no one nothing. There'd be nothing going on here if not for the Marthas, right? Check this out. Jesus wouldn't have even been in that house if Martha didn't invite him in. If Martha wasn't there, Mary wouldn't have a Savior's feet to sit at. How about that? There is nothing wrong with being Martha. You just have to remember to be Mary too. Those serving are important, but you've got to make time to sit. We need Marthas. We need Marthas. We need all of them. We all need to be Marthas, willing to serve, willing to sacrifice, willing to invite people into our churches and our homes. Amen. Not just the church, but in the churches and our homes. And we've got to stop, sit, and listen also. If this moment, excuse me, if this moment, this story were Christmas right now, Martha's preparing the meal. Martha is cooking. Martha is cleaning. Martha is shopping, trying to find that one scooter that Charlie wants. Martha is picking up after everybody. Martha's yelling at Daryl. Daryl, you got that tree up yet? Come on, Daryl. Martha's yelling at Daryl because when he was hanging the lights on the roof, Daryl, those lights aren't, man, got to do something. Got to do it myself. Get down, sit down over there. I'm going to fix these lights. Martha is doing everything. Martha's not making space to sit and receive from others and from her Savior, the peacemaker. Amen. Mary is eating the meal with her fork in her left hand and her knife in her right hand. And Mary is laughing and Mary is singing and Mary is listening and enjoying and learning in the presence of God and others. Amen. Hey, everyone, I want to tell you right now, everyone this Christmas season needs to be both Martha and Mary. But what you need to do also is if somebody you notice is only being a Martha, then you need to step up and say, Martha, it's time to be Mary. Amen. Martha, it's time to sit down and receive. Sit down and eat. Sit down and be blessed for a change. It's time to receive. Amen. Come on, you need to tell Martha to do that this Christmas. Make sure that you stop for a moment and encourage all the Marthas in your life and family to take some time and enjoy the fact that God brings peace, healing, hope on the first Christmas and every Christmas since and every day in between. Amen. Can I have the band come on back up here? Now, I want to tell you right now, I'm not telling any of you not to serve this Christmas. Serve each other, but remember, be served too.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.